Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 115 of Teaching Tales, the podcast totally devoted to sharing stories from the world of education. I am your host, Brent Coley. I am an educator in beautiful Southern California, and if you've listened to the podcast before, it's been a minute since the last episode, or maybe more accurately, it's been over 4 months, but I'm back with a new episode that I'm really excited about. The title of this episode is The Best Parts of Being a Teacher. And what I've done is I asked teachers, administrators, near and far, to share stories with me that I could compile into one episode, stories that would put a smile on your face or would lift your spirits, encourage you, remind you of the power that we have as educators, the difference that we make. I don't need to tell you, if you're in education, this is a hard job, and it's so easy to get bogged down and discouraged with the challenges that we face. But the purpose of this, my goal was, wow, if we can share some stories that'll make us laugh, make us smile, maybe even make us tear up, to remind us of the good parts, the best parts of being a teacher. So I've got six amazing educators who shared stories that in just a couple of moments, I'm gonna play those back to back. Stories that, again, they're going to make you smile. They're going to make you go, oh, they may even put a tear in your eye, which is amazing. So again, be encouraged by these stories. And when we're done with those, I'm going to share a story of my own. So I will see you in a little bit. Enjoy these stories.
Oh, I love this question so much, Brent. Thank you so much for asking, man. What's the best part about being an educator? It's proving people wrong. That's what I love the opportunity to prove people wrong. Now, hear me out. We got this mission statement in my organization that says we demonstrate what is possible when school and community collaborate, you know, dot, dot, dot. And to prove that something is possible, it means that somebody at some point thought it was impossible. And think about all the things we do in education that people like used to think was impossible. And now we're just crushing it at the things that we do. I remember rolling out Chromebooks a ways back. And people were like, kindergartners could never log into a Chromebook. Like, just all the ways that we do it. But my favorite story on this is we had a little girl transfer into our eighth grade. She'd never been in a mainstream environment. She'd always been secluded in SDC class. And we're a full inclusion school. We're all about neurodiversity. That may not be your jam. That's not really the point of the story. The point of the story is, like, when she came to our school, the previous school said, hey, man, this kid's never going to do well in your school. Like, she won't do well in a mainstream environment with general education kids because, like, she's always been in an SDC classroom. She typically, like, just kind of rocks in the corner and just cries all day. Like, we're worried about sending her to your school. And I'm like, hey, man, give us a shot. Like, we got this. So this girl comes to our school in summer. We go to take her on a tour around the campus. She doesn't even make it past the flagpole. She bursts into a puddle of tears. We're like, hey, it's okay. We're like, let's just practice coming to school. Anyway, fast forward like 3 months, maybe 2 months. It's before Thanksgiving. I walk into her eighth grade classroom. She's standing at the front of the classroom with three other girls, and they are presenting some Google slides. Now, this girl was mostly nonverbal, so she didn't say a lot, but man, she was up at the front of the classroom, like, with her grade level peers, girls that she was becoming, like, friendly with. It was so cool to watch inclusion happen, man, at that level. Like, fast forward again, like, the eighth grade's got this singing and dancing elective class, and they put on this little showcase, and the curtain opens up in front of the entire middle school. They're all packed into the gym. The entire middle school's in the gym. Curtain opens up, and there's, like, you know, 20 eighth graders doing a choreographed dance up on stage. And who's one of the kids dancing? This little girl. And she didn't get the dance steps right, but, like, either would I. Come on. Like, she was up there in front of the whole school, and the school's cheering and clapping, and it was like, I'm going to tear up. It was this opportunity to demonstrate that, man, give people an opportunity to be kind and treat each other well and demonstrate, you know, full inclusion. And I love watching people live up, right? Fast forward to the end of the school year, I go to the, you know, eighth grade dance, and here comes this little girl, this eighth grader, man. She's holding hands with some friends and wearing this little flowered dress, and she's, you know, jumping up and down and dancing on the, you know, in the gymnasium with all of her friends to all the music. And, like, Her mother thanked us 8 billion times for what we did for her child. And we're like, we just kind of got out of the way, man. Of course she got all the education services she needed. Of course she had special education teachers, general education teachers, instructional aides, a community of people around her. But like, I'm telling you, man, demonstrating was proving people wrong. That's the best part of EdU. And we do it all the time. Anytime somebody says something can't be done for some kid because of some reason, I love being like, give us a shot. Anyway, all right, Brent, thanks for asking, brother. Sorry if this went too long.
Hi, this is Monique Petrucci. I teach transitional kindergarten in Murrieta, California. I have been a veteran teacher for 28 years now, probably about 24 around the time we shut down for COVID. And as a kindergarten teacher and a transitional kindergarten teacher, one of the things you do all the time is tie shoes. It is like 100 times a day you are tying shoes. So prior to closing for school for the pandemic and going to the virtual model, I was known for my signature slip-on Vans because I would tell people that all I do all day is tie shoes, so the last thing I want to do is tie my own. So then comes the pandemic, and we are virtual for a year and a half. And kids returned to our campus late March of 2021. And I will never forget the moment it was the kids' first day back at school, and I was crossing the kindergarten yard, the bike track. And there was a little girl who had been in my class the year we closed. And she was running across the play yard, and her shoelace was flapping. And I knelt down to tie her shoe. And it was the first shoe I had tied in a year and a half, and I can barely even tell this story. And I bent down and I tied her shoe. And she's looking down at me, and I'm looking up at her, and I'm asking her about her day. And always when I'm done tying a shoe, I just give a little pat right where the shoe is to let them know that I'm done. And I remember that moment of being so grateful to tie that shoe. And since that moment, I have never begrudged tying one shoe, because I understood in that moment that it wasn't about tying the shoe. It was about the connection with the child in that moment of quiet while they looked down and I looked up and I tied their shoe.
Hi, my name is Julie Dalen, and I teach at Buchanan Elementary School in Murrieta, California. And when I first started teaching 20 years ago, I taught first grade. And I have always believed that children can learn to read through writing, and especially their own writing. So I would have all my students, my little first graders, and they would walk in the morning, and the music you would hear in the background is similar to what they would be listening to. And then they would have something to write about. And they would write whatever they wanted to write. And I didn't care if they knew how to spell it correctly. All I cared is that they would write something that was important to them, and then they would stand up and share it with the class. Well, I had one little boy who could not write anything at all, so I gave him permission just to use the first sound he heard of every word. So as a result, his journal was filled with pages and pages and pages of just one letter. And he would stand at the front of the room and he would go on and on and on about whatever it was, his motorcycle trip to the desert, his big brother, you know, taking him somewhere special. He would go on and on and on. And then one day, he turns to me, and it was his turn to share. And I said, okay, let's hear it. Everybody, you know, put your eyeballs. And he hands me his book, and he says, here, Mrs. Dalen, you read it. And he gives me this wink and a look, and, you know, he caught me. All of a sudden, he caught me. He knew I couldn't read it, but he thought I could. So I sat there and I said, okay, you're going to have to help me. How does it start? And he said, well, clearly it starts with you and me. I said, what do you mean it starts with you and me? And he says, this is my story of first grade. When I first came in and there was music playing, don't you see it? And on the page, I could see a D, I guess that was for Mrs. Dalen. I could see an M for music. And then there was a big heart, because he told me that was his favorite way of starting the day. And that's always going to be one of my favorite memories of teaching.
Hey, Brent. Rod DeLeon here, Tobe Shaw Elementary principal. I wanted to share one special moment that I'll always remember as an educator. I was at the time teaching middle school, and it was my prep period, and I walked into the library, and the librarian was there, and there was one student in one of the aisles looking at books. Her name was Shelly, and took a moment just to stop, say hello to Shelly. I had her the previous year, asked her how her day was going, and she said it was fine. I said, well, have an awesome day. And then later that day, her language arts teacher came over to me and shared that she wrote in her journal that day how much it meant for me to stop, ask her how her day was going, ask her how she was doing. She wasn't having a great day, but for someone to take time out of their day to ask how she was doing meant the world to her. It was nothing to me. It was a 10-second conversation, but to her, it meant the world. Thought I'd share that with you. It always inspires me to make connections with kids. Have a good one.
When I first became a school teacher in California over 20 years ago, I wanted to make a difference with students. I disliked my sanctimonious teachers as a student and pledged to never be like these past teachers. Luckily, I've always believed learning is a lifetime journey, and I kept an open mind to new perspectives and thoughts. One year, I was teaching a total of 186 students a day. Not all at once, fortunately, but when you deal with big numbers of people, it's easy to become a bit impersonal, no matter how much you try to connect with others. I believe all students are unique, and I had this one student who was certainly unique. Every day she came to class with a great big smile and a nice greeting. She was an A-plus student who cared to do well. And one day she came to class, and the sparkle in her eyes and the smile were both gone. I realized something was wrong and asked her to stay with me until all the other students were inside the classroom. Once we were alone, I asked her what was wrong, and she told me. Her father was an undocumented person from Mexico, and U.S. Immigration Services had arrested him last night, and he was being deported immediately. The student was trying not to cry as she told me how worried she was for her father and wondered if she would ever see him again. This hit me straight in my heart. It was in listening to my students like these which made me realize we all carry invisible troubles. We might never know the miseries others carry with them throughout the day, and we should treat others with kindness and empathy. Even though I was the teacher, I became the student on that day.
My name is Amanda Clark, and I taught mostly fourth and fifth grade in the city of Costa Mesa for about 15 years. And I wanted to share a story of one of my very favorite students. At my school, we had two emotionally disturbed special ed classes. And often those students that were academically proficient, they would spend some time in the regular ed classes. And one day we got a new boy. He was in third grade, and everyone got to know him pretty quickly because he tended to take off his shoes and throw them in the classroom and then take off running. He was a very angry little boy, really big emotions. He did not have parents. He was living in a group home nearby, and he just had a lot to work through. Fast forward a couple years later, and he was in my classroom about 90% of the day. It was clear to me that he was very bright, and looking back, he was probably one of the brightest students I had ever taught. That year, I really tried to challenge him and push him academically because I knew it would not be good if he were bored. He actually did not have any behavioral issues when he was in my class. And after he moved on to the next grade, we continued to stay in touch. He was always very sweet. He would tell me his favorite parts of being in my class. And this relationship continued even when he left our school. He did spend time in various foster homes. One home in particular, he actually told the judge that he thought the people were nice, but the house did not have any books, and he really wanted to be in a place surrounded by books. And this judge had never heard such a thing, but she was smart enough to listen to him, and she actually did remove him from that house. Luckily, a gentleman reached out and offered to take him as a foster parent, and that relationship was perfect. Shortly after, I received a call from that student, and he invited me to be at court with him and witness the ceremony in which he officially became adopted. That was such a wonderful moment. And it was actually with the same judge that had removed him from the previous foster home. This student graduated high school, and then he decided to join the Navy. The Navy did test him ahead of time, and they decided to train him to be a nuclear engineer. So obviously they knew what I knew, that this was a very bright young man. He is currently in that program. He is doing great. He has totally gotten control over his emotions. He for sure has his ups and downs, but I'm so lucky that he does confide in me when he does make mistakes, because he knows that I love him unconditionally and I'm there to support him and not judge him. I just cannot wait to see where this kid goes in life. He has overcome so much, and he can do anything that he puts his mind to. And I just feel so grateful that this little kid who used to throw his shoes every day is now a very important person in my life.
Wow. I mean, this is why I do the podcast, to be able to share stories like what you just heard. I hope that you were as encouraged as I was by listening to those stories from John's reminder that, wow, we just got to give kids a chance. Prove people wrong. Give them a chance. To Monique's reminder that something as trivial or mundane as tying shoes isn't always about tying shoes. It's about making connections with kids. To Julie's story about the writing, I mean, that was amazing, of the connection that she made with her student. Rod's reminder that all he did was ask her how she was doing, yet that small 10-second interaction completely made her day. To Greg's reminder of that we never know what's going on in kids' lives, so to just really be present for them. And then closing off with Amanda, what a powerful story that years later, the connection that she made, that the connections that we make with students can literally last a lifetime. So I just want to close with a story myself that I hope will encourage you and put a smile on your face. So when I was the principal of an elementary school, one afternoon I was out in front of the school and at drop-off. So kids, supervising kiddos as moms and dads and family members are pulling through the front loop to pick kids up. And one of our kindergarten teachers, she was teaching kindergarten at the time, she comes up to me and she says, "Hey, Brent, I want to show you something." I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And she, in her hand, she has an Altoids box, you know, one of those red and white tins, an Altoid mints box. And she says, "Check this out." And she opens it up, but there's no mints in there. Inside the box of the tin of Altoids are about 7 or 8 sprinkles from a donut. You know, like the colored sprinkles of a sprinkled donut. That's the only thing in there. And I said, what's this? And she said, "A student gave this to me as a gift this morning." And I mean, I was just blown away. I mean, think about that. So a kindergartner wanted to give a gift to his teacher. And what did he choose to give to her? He chose to give her the sprinkles. Like, he saved some sprinkles from the donut he probably had that morning and wanted to give that to his teacher. I mean, let's be real here. Sprinkles for a 5 or a 6-year-old, that's like the equivalent to like a pound of gold for adults. I mean, that is their currency. Donuts sprinkle, that is a kid's currency. But he chose to honor his teacher, to give that to his teacher. And
I have never forgotten that. I mean, you want to talk about a connection that that teacher had made with the student, that was it. I mean, whatever she was doing in the class, I mean, and she's an amazing teacher. The things that she's doing in class academically, fantastic. But the connection that she made with that student to make that student want to give the sprinkles from his donut. So I share that story with you as a reminder that don't underestimate the impact that you're having. Obviously, academics are important, and we want to be able to teach kids whatever subject area we're teaching. That is important, and I don't want to downplay that at all, but please don't ever underestimate the impact that you're having just by being present, like the previous stories that you heard, just by asking somebody how they're doing, because that can, who knows, that may result in you receiving a gift of sprinkles from a donut someday. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope that these stories have encouraged you. If this is your first time listening, hope you enjoyed it. If you are a repeat listener, thanks for coming on back and going back. If this is your first time, there's 114 previous episodes. I would encourage you to find your favorite podcast host, whether it's Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. You can listen directly on my website on the podcast page at brentcoley.com. But check out previous episodes. I've had the opportunity to talk with some amazing people who have shared their stories in education, and I hope that you will be encouraged by that. And if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, drop me a like in your favorite podcast host. I would appreciate it. That just helps get the word out to other people. So once again, thanks so much for listening. Never underestimate the impact that you're having. And until next time, have a good one.